Good morning. Today is Wednesday, the 6th of September. Joining us this morning, live from the ranch, Michelle Bushnell. Good morning.
Good morning.
Wow, you're sounding chipperer than I thought.
not very chipper this morning, but, phones are a wonderful thing, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, I've been listening to a lot more of the Jimmy Buffett stuff, different. Instead of the one album 10 times and going on to another one and another one, I'm kind of going broad. And there's a song about telephones. Everybody's got phones, but nobody's talking.
That's kind of a true statement.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, we've got a new book. I was going to show you the new book and get your ooh and ah, but since it's off premise here, I'll just tell you the title of this one is The Little Book of Answers.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, I'm just going in sequence because these are all relatively short and small and I can read them easily. Why is the American presidential home called the White House?
Because it's white? I don't know.
All right. In 1800, when John Adams became the first president to inhabit it until 1814, when the British burned it because the Americans had torched Toronto, the presidential building was a gray Victorian freestone. It was painted white to cover up the fire damage done by the British. It wasn't officially called the White House until Teddy Roosevelt began printing its image on executive mansion stationery in 1901. It's all a cover-up. You could have guessed that. Gee. Oh, my. So you just kind of, you got the cold that's floating around, huh? I've heard.
I do have the head cold that's floating around. Yep.
Yeah. When you're off site or out of the office, does that slow you down or just change your work environment?
When I'm not in the office in Eureka?
Yes.
No, it doesn't slow me down. I'm not often there because Eureka's not my district, obviously, and so I only really go there on Mondays to meet with department heads, and then Tuesdays, of course, for our meeting. But otherwise, I'm not really up there much. I like to stay, within my district, and I meet people in Fortuna and Garberville. I go to Shelter Cove. I go out to Dunsmore. I'm not really in the office much.
So what is the biggest challenge, not the geographic nature of your district, but of the various communities? I mean, you were taking them off. Fortuna is certainly different than Shelter Cove, is different than Garberville, is different than Myers Flat. How would you describe the different personalities of the various communities in your district to somebody who wasn't Humboldt County?
Well, I think that what you just said is one of the difficulties with my district, trying to represent well the diverseness of it. I have a conservative group of folks and then a not such conservative group of folks mixed within my district. And so representing that, and it's a large group of each, and it's not like 10 people here and 10 people there. It's a large group of each. And so representing them well and how they feel, about Humboldt County and their district, especially on the dais, is something that I really have to put a lot of thought into when I'm, considering things for the county that are going to be affect my district especially.
Well, that kind of brings up a question that I will ask folks when they're newly elected, and you probably have forgotten it, so this is a new question for you. Are you a representative or a leader? Or how do you see the being a supervisor as a representative?
I remember you asking that, and at the time I said I was a representative of the people of my district. Now 3 years in, I'm a representative and a leader for my district, and especially at the county level, it is a really fine balance to do both and to do both well.
So how do you define well?
I think if you can, one thing about being a leader or I don't want to say a higher up, but someone that makes decisions is you're not going to, never, everyone's never going to be happy. But even if that unhappy person can understand why, even if they're not happy about it, if they can understand why that decision was made and go away saying, well, I'm not happy, but I'll okay, I think that you're leading well. If you can make sense of the decision you made, even though it doesn't make everybody happy.
Do you find that, let's say I'm hacked off at you about some vote, whatever it might happen to be, but the next vote comes up and it's a clean slate and maybe you vote the way that I would and then I congratulate you? Or are people one and done, or do they tend to hold on to things a little bit and keep going back and returning to some of the past decisions and kind of use it as a whipping post?
I think that if your decision, for me, my experience present day is if that decision has an outcome, at least an outcome and not a detrimental outcome, people can accept it. It may not be exactly what they want, but if they can see movement and if it is resultive in some direction moving forward and improving, then they can let it go. There are issues that you just are never going to solve no matter what you throw at it. Homelessness is one. It is every day you can work on it and every day you can try to have a solution, but it is not something that you are going to solve ever. There are always going to be new circumstances. And so sometimes, you don't get it right the first time. And so that can definitely cause people to come back to that same issue, especially when that issue gets re-brought up on the dais many times. And those types of issues such as homelessness or the drug stuff that's going on, they keep continually come up as we try to, solve those. So, yes, sometimes they keep coming back.
Yeah, I would think reoccurring issues, as long as there's progress, even a modicum, just as long as there's some progress in a positive direction, people will understand the timeline. But, they may not be jumping up and down applauding, but at least they understand. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Michelle Bushnell. So, Michelle, dealing with some of these issues, reoccurring issues, it's got to be a bit of a balancing act, as you had used that phrase earlier, between being able to come to a conclusion and a solution, or at least a possible solution with the topic or an issue, versus an ongoing cultural one, like homelessness, like poverty, like some of these things that, I guess there's a lot of time given to, but I don't know if it's really the purview of a local elected's position.
Those issues are one of my problems is that we have a lot of meetings around those reoccurring issues. And I don't see the needle move a lot, and that's a very political phrase, of course. But as a person coming from private sector, I can see what can work. When you have your business, if you don't problem solve today, you don't have a business tomorrow. And that doesn't seem to work as well in government. It seems like you can fail many times and start over, and the public fails. The taxpayer, it's their that's where their frustration comes from. But then the government gets to say, oh, well, we'll try something else. In private sector, you don't get that. You fail, you're done. And so you have to be really solution-oriented. My frustrations when I was first elected was, why can I see what will work and we can't get there? And so those reoccurring problems, lots of people have solutions and you can't put them into place because of red tape or, you know, whatever else preclude you with government, or let's have another meeting. And so it's pretty frustrating at times, and for the general public, for the taxpayers.
I would think, you know, the 5th District, 4th District, 3rd, you know, as you ticked off the various communities, each district also has its own personality in the county, and then the county obviously has its own. My sense outside looking in through the window is often there's an attempt or a desire to satisfy everybody. We need to have all opinions represented. We need to have all sectors. And it's like, wait a minute, you're just going to chase yourself forever and ever and ever trying to get every representation, every idea, every perspective incorporated into this document, decision, determination, policy, whatever it might happen to be. Is there a sense that we need 100% versus 90% let's go and move on?
Well, I have felt that, which you're never going to get 100% consensus, and I have felt that in the past, and especially with commission meetings or public commenters. And, you know, when you put into perspective, each district has around 25,000 constituents, 28,000 constituents. And so when you put into perspective, each one of those constituents matter and their opinions matter. That doesn't mean that you can effectively make every decision and make everybody happy. And that goes back to what I was saying earlier. If you can explain to someone and say why you voted or say why this is why I feel this needs to go this way, representing your district and your constituent well, 100% of a constituent base to be satisfied is never going to happen. And if you're thinking that, you're in fairyland. That just is not going to happen. That's why you have so many different opinions and thoughts, and, you know, while your district goes around and around because of the diverseness of it. And so I think, you know, a percentage of, you should be listening to that percentage of and see what's going to work best, and then try to explain or help the ones that are upset at that one item understand why you're voting the way you are or why that item is going the way it is. And realize maybe the next item will go your way, and that's what makes things work and move forward.
I would think it's challenging also because there are some topics, some areas that are emotional.
Yes.
For an individual, not necessarily across the board, but for an individual. And there are others that are very logical, and you can walk your way through that one, and they may not agree, but they understand. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time. Okay, that's not how I would have voted, but I understand. Boom. But in the emotional arena, or when it becomes very personalized, things go a little sideways pretty quickly.
They do, and I've had to remind myself many times, especially on the dais, that, you know, five of us have five different opinions, and we have five different constituent bases, and don't take it personal, because if you have that chip on your shoulder, you're never going to get anywhere. You have to have, you know, three votes or four votes to move things and items down the road, and having a chip on your shoulder, you think that, you know, my co-supervisor whoever is, you know, it's personal, is never going to make things work very, very well.
Every once in a while, for efficiency, do you feel like, okay, I'm going to take a loss on this one? Here's my opinion, but yeah, I got it. Let's go. You know, and you become the dissatisfied rather than district?
I have had that happen several times, and I've said, I voted no, the item passed anyways. I've said, this is why my district is not aligning with this and is not going to be happy with this, and so my vote is no. I understand that the item is going to move forward anyways, and I'm just stating my reasons and move on. You know, you just have to let that stuff go.
Yeah, I would think, you, as long as it's on the record and you still vote the way you feel you want to or need to. Okay, did my best. And then you move on.
You're not going to win along with, you know, your constituents. You know, you can't satisfy 100% of your constituents. You also are not going to win everything on the diet, as they say.
Yeah, you would drive yourself batty. It's 8:30.
Yeah.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:34. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County 2nd District Supervisor Michelle Bushnell. Michelle, with budget challenges or with some of these other areas that we've talked about, are there some simplistic solutions that might be out there that other counties, other jurisdictions, other states are utilizing that could be incorporated here, and there just isn't a willingness currently to embrace some of these different approaches?
I do think that there are different ideas that have been utilized in different counties and different states that have been brought up that instantly are like, well, that won't work, instead of trying to investigate it to see if it will work. Currently, with the way we do our budgets and adopt our budgets, to make a large shift, you know, it takes cooperation with all departments. And oftentimes, when you're doing a shift to a different structure, it's going to take some departments are going to lose a little bit until it evens out. And so one thing that I see throughout the county, and we talked about this at budgets this year and throughout our budget meetings, is you should be invested in the entire county, not just your own department, and realize that it's a give and take. If you have a way to cut your budget and shuffle some money somewhere to a different department because you know we're in a budget crisis, you should be willing. And it shouldn't be I'm worried about my department, I don't care about yours.
What about the inverse of that? You know, if Papstein's department has a suggestion for Bushnell's department that I see that you might be able to save some money.
Yes.
Those ideas get cross-shared in that process?
I think that, I don't know if they get cross-shared with the department, but I do know they get shared with the people making the decisions, which would be the board. And that has definitely come across my path of a department saying, hey, do you think this could work in that department to save money? But it is, you know, it's kind of interesting when you're dealing with money and that department wants to make their department whole and the next department wants to make their department whole. And
well, sure.
I think that's where it comes around to realizing that 20 departments make the county whole. And so you have to really work together to do that. Especially during really bad budget years, which we're in now.
Well, and I guess part of the challenge is you've got some that are elected, which are then representing the entire county, versus those that are appointed through the CAO's office, being determined, you know, and all of this being sanctified, if you will, by folks that are elected by 1/5 of the county. I mean,
right.
You got all these different matrix or swirls going on at the same time.
Right. And so our county is made up of, it's kind of a different, two structures. Our structure is actually the department heads are not appointed by the CAO. They're appointed by the board. And in other counties, so the CAO is a department head in herself, like other department heads, and she also is appointed by the board. And then you have your electeds that are elected by the constituency of the county, such as the sheriff, who isn't equal, you know, to me. And so what, like with the sheriff or the tax treasurer, the auditor, the electeds, they're an equal, and all we have to do is we control their budget. They don't have a boss. The constituent base is their boss. And so it becomes a tug of war at times. Other counties have different structures where the CAO is the person for the department heads, and the department heads answer to the CAO and not to the board. So they're throughout California, and I've looked at it several times. Our structure is not the most common any longer throughout California. The most common is that department heads that are not elected work under and are, the CAO is their boss, and then the CAO answers to the board, and the board deals with the CAO with department heads. Like, ultimately, the final decision comes through the board, but all of that work is done through the CAO. Currently in Humboldt County, all of that work is done through the board to department heads. So it's a little different structure.
I would think that if it was run through the CAO, the appointeds, that it would lend itself for more efficiencies and certainly a clarity of authority. You know, where now, let's say you decide, I'm a department head, you decide something happens, you call me directly. Okay. Well, now one of my bosses is calling, but do I react to that one person or do I reach out to the other four and say, is this consensus? And then I get a call from the CAO needing something. It just seems like it would be so scattergun or shotgun rather than a clear line of who is my boss.
Well, theoretically, if it's done right, not one supervisor should ever direct a department head. It always should come from a consensus from the board. And so no supervisor should be calling a department head and say, do this. That's not how this structure should ever work.
But if you get the pothole call.
Yeah. The pothole call is different. So I wouldn't call that major decisions or policy making or direction. When I have issues with my roads in my district, I don't call Tom Matson. I call Steve Finch, who is the supervising person for my district that supervises the guys in my district. And I say, hey, I have a complaint about, you know, Alder Point Road, da da da. And then in turn, he'll say, okay, well, let me call Denton, who runs the Alder Point Road, have him run out there and he'll take a look and we'll get back to you to see if that complaint is validated and then to see if there's something that they can do. So, you know, that is not really directing the department or making policy or, you know, directing the department head. And so it's a little different, but I do see what you're saying because it can be problematic if you're calling your department head, one supervisor is calling a department head and having that department head make decisions that are outside of that, you know, three vote or three decision making body. It can be very problematic.
Well, what if we put some zeros and commas on that and say, you know, and let's use Tom since he's not here to defend himself. Tom, I got a bridge here. I need to have that thing taken care of. How do we make that happen? Or it has to happen. Let me know when the project's going to start. Is it a magnitude issue, dollars and cents issue? I mean, where does that transition from the pothole to something more significant that requires action or direction from the board?
That would be, yes, it's a magnitude money-wise issue. You cannot direct or should never direct a department head to spend zeros without bringing that before your board.
Okay, so that's pretty straightforward then.
Yep.
Is it codified or is it just general knowledge?
Well, it's codified. I mean, when I was elected, you know, you get your book that says this is how we do things and this is how we run, and that definitely is what we don't do if we don't direct singly.
Yeah. Opening page. If it has zeros and commas, don't.
Yes. Definitely.
That would be cool. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Michelle Bushnell, Humboldt County 2nd District Supervisor. Michelle, with these various ideas out of area, I guess would be the way to reference it. When those are presented, do they tend to be dismissed out of hand, looked at, and then said, well, maybe there, but not in California, or maybe there, but not in the rural setting? Or this is how we've always done it, you know, and you get people digging in their heels on that.
There's a lot of this is how we've always done it and, you know, just keep doing it this way. So sometimes those ideas come in and, well, that won't work. We're different region, or that won't work. We're too rural, or that won't work. We're not city enough, you know. So sometimes those thoughts or ideas are just dismissed pretty easily. I will say that change takes a lot of work and energy, and so that I think stops people sometimes right there. It's a lot of work to change something, and it's a lot of energy to change something and make it work effectively. And sometimes people just rely on, oh well, this has always worked. We're just going to keep doing this,
yeah,
whether it's effective or not.
And I would suppose that it's a selling proposition, you know, here are the benefits that we will get at the end of the process. Yeah, it's not going to be a super smooth road necessarily to get there, but once we do get there, from that point out, here's what we'll be able to save, and, you know, get people focusing on that end of the challenge.
Well, what you said earlier about public process and how we, you know, how government works through public process. Never do you really get to make a decision without having that public process or public input. But the public always is sometimes is not always willing to change either. You can present a really good idea and have enormous pushback, and so it doesn't even get off the ground. And so that sometimes can be frustrating, especially if you can see the benefit and see that it can work, but the public can't exactly see how that will work, and so the pushback is a lot. And that's where you come in, where you represent your constituent base or your county. As a supervisor, county, Humboldt County supervisor, different than a department head, is that you really are there. It's a split, you know, it's a split role, but you really are there to help represent your constituents and what they want for their county. And so it can get very convoluted and slow the process down a lot.
Well, I would think you've got three different constituencies in that scenario. You've got those that elect you, or the community, if you will. You've got the department head that you're working with as part of the effort. And then you've got the challenge of being a leader. Well, leaders by definition aren't always popular.
No.
Okay.
Not,
so is this one to drive a stake on and say this is, you know, and really drive that home? And then the biggest challenge, I would think, is when do you say, okay, and you move on. Great idea, could benefit a ton. It isn't worth the emotional capital, the time, the investment, whatever it might happen to be, to pursue this. Better to have four small little victories than go after this one big one.
Yeah, yes, I agree with that. And I think one thing I would like to say is that if you as an elected have proven yourself and that your decision making and your follow through is good, and that you have guided your constituency or your county in good direction, getting people to trust you is part of that battle, right? And so if you've done those things well and you have proven that you're trustworthy, then you can get that constituent base to say, you can have an open, honest conversation and say, I really believe this is going to work. I really believe this is the way to go. That's the leadership part of it. And people will, even if they don't want to, they will they will do it because they trust you. They will try it.
Can you do that in the first term, or is that a second elected term position of strength?
So you definitely can't do it in the first 1 or 2 years. I'm now on my, you have to build that trust. And so now, you know, I'm 3 years in, and I have earned that. I'm honest, and that I am always going to, even to a fault, probably say how I feel. And so, you know, my third year in, now people are trusting me, and it takes a little bit to build that up.
And I
want to say one other thing.
Sure.
Too, you can also destroy that just as quick. So, you know, it is being very true to yourself and to your constituent base if you want to be that leader.
It's a slow climb going up the mountain, but one misstep and you're down at the bottom real fast.
And you're going to slide right to the bottom.
If somebody has an idea, do they talk to their supervisor? Do they talk to a department head, the CAO? Where do they go with an idea just to, you know, fly the flag, so to speak, and to see if it was something that might be embraced?
Well, if one of my constituents has an idea and they come to me and I think it's a good, viable idea, I try to get them in touch with whatever the idea is. So if it's something to do with public works, then I'll say, well, let's meet with public works and see what they say. Ultimately, though, because I'm a single in a group of four, you know, that idea, it affects just not only my district, and so it would come back to the board, and that's why you have board initiated items come. You think it's a good idea and you think it's viable and you've checked the sources and you've talked with that department head that it affects, then you bring that item board and you board initiate it, like I initiate something to talk to my board about it and say, what do you guys think? What does your constituency base think? What does the CAO think?
You know? I like what you were going to say. You check what the condition is.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Exactly.
Perfect. Well, get well. And we'll see you next time. Okay.
Thank you. Have a good week.
Thanks, Michelle. You too. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
See everybody tomorrow.